Good morning to everyone.
Appreciate your presence here this morning. We do have a really good crowd out, and especially in light of the fact of all the ones that are out with health problems and those that are traveling and so forth. We seem like standing up here, it looks like we have a really good number, and we appreciate your presence this morning. If you're visiting with us, we want you to know that you are our honored guest, and we invite you back on every occasion that you have. If you have any questions about anything that we say or do or practice here at Providence, we stand ready and willing to defend that with the Bible. We only want to stand on the things that the Bible reveals unto us, not adding to or not taking away from the Scriptures. That is our desire. We have a mission as a church here in this location, that is to grow this congregation, not only in number, but spiritually, to make all that are present here stronger spiritually, so that we might know the will of God, and so that we might grow in unison, and so that we might have that spiritual leadership that Pat mentioned in his prayer there a while ago, that we might have eventually elders and deacons. We have the desire to have a church that was patterned by Jesus Christ himself, and that's what we're working towards, and we're not wanting to add to anything to that. We're not wanting to take away anything from that, and it's just that simple. And we want to try to lead others to Christ. We're not here to judge or cast dispersions or to make assumptions, but we're here to be seed sowers spreading the gospel, and let the gospel do the converting and the convicting. What I think and what my judgments are don't mount to a hill of beans. But what God says, now that's a different matter. And if it's revealed in His Word, we need to take some serious hindrance to what is revealed in His Word. And we can't look at it lightly and say, well, it's not important and it's just some other person's opinion. So we need to keep that in mind as we preach the gospel, as we attend where the gospel's been preached, and we had an excellent Bible class this morning. I got a lot out of that. Appreciate Chris. I know that he put a lot of time and effort into that. And all those who stand up here and teach Bible classes, I get so much out of hearing them speak, and I can tell that there's a lot of work put into those Bible studies. And that's why we do that, is so that we can all benefit from it. We have talked about for the last few weeks, outside of the week of Thanksgiving, the ideal of the importance of a harvest, and I've tried to make parallels of the important things that God makes parallels to, so that all people, even in the days when the Bible was being penned, could relate to. And we still can relate to it today, and in God's wisdom, He knew that it would be that way, that the people He was talking to some 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ, when He walked upon the earth, and still today it would be applicable because we all still understand the ideal of a harvest and the ideal of a seed sowing season. And we've talked about all those parallels, and today we're going to talk about the ideal of sacrifice and what has to be sacrificed. And I think sometimes, again, because we live in a time when there seems to be not a lot of things that we have to sacrifice because we have it good, that we've become kind of desensitized to the fact that our service to God should be somewhat sacrificial, and that means that we might have to give up some things so that we can serve God. We might have to let some things go that we think that is of great importance to us so that we can serve God. And when we think about physical things, we can relate to that and understand. And I always like to make those comparisons because mothers, think about mothers when they have children, what they have to give up and what they have to sacrifice. And we have a lot of mothers here and a lot of grandmothers. And you know that whenever you have children, then the focus comes off of you and it goes on those children and what is best for those children. As fathers, we have that same responsibility. You know, there might have been a time when it was just me that I had to think about, and I would go hunting or I would go fishing and I would spend time doing all the things that I enjoyed doing. But whenever my children come along, then I had to factor in, well, how much time am I allotting to my children versus how much time I'm allotting to those other things that I might like to do. And we can relate to that because we understand that love, love, so to speak, and that we have to give up some things so that we can be good providers for our children, as husbands are oftentimes, and mothers too, as far as that goes. The mothers might have to give up more of getting up in the middle of the night and fixing a bottle or changing a diaper and not getting that good solid night's sleep that you once used to get because you didn't have children. And you know that going into having children, that you're going to have to give up some things. That there's going to be things that change the equation to the point that, again, it's not just about me, but whenever I make decisions, I have to think about how it's going to affect everybody in the family, even in just a husband and wife relationship for those who haven't got children yet. It's not, when you marry, it's not just about you anymore, but it's about your spouse. What is the best for my spouse? When I do something or I don't do something, when I neglect my responsibilities, how is it going to affect my spouse? Well, that becomes kind of sacrificial in that I'm willing to sacrifice maybe what I would like to do for what's best for my spouse. And I'm saying all these things to just get our mind in gear to go to this idea of how we understand that in physical things, of how there is some sacrifice that has to be made. And whenever you look at the definition of sacrifice, it is a loss of something you give up for a greater cause. That's what sacrifice is. You're willing to let something go that you might have something else. Sometimes people fail to recognize that. And whenever they do, they try to hang on to what they've had, and they try to get something over here that they haven't had, and they try to keep this thing over here to have, and they kind of get tore between and betwixt, and they kind of get spread kind of thin, and then next thing you know, something is getting neglected. Something is getting left out of what they need to be doing. And as we think about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, He was sacrificed for our sin debt and for the sins of all humanity. His physical life for our spiritual well-being, that we might be reconciled unto God the Father. This could not happen by any other means. So here we have Jesus Christ, who came to this low land of sin and sorrow, left heaven, come to this earth, walked among men, felt the things that we felt, know what it was to be hungry, know what it was to be uncomfortable, know what it was to be scorned, know what it was to be tormented, know what it was to be persecuted. That was sacrificial whenever He did that. And we understand that that was very sacrificial. And as we think about that great sacrifice that was made there on our behalf, it should make us realize that as Christians, and again, a Christian, that word means to be a follower of Jesus Christ or a disciple of Christ, and that means that we're trying to imitate Christ in our lives so that we might be the influence that He intended for His people to be upon earth, and that people might be able to see that we are willing to sacrifice some of the things that we might have a hard time with, that we might not want to give up. We are willing to sacrifice that because Jesus Christ as well had a sacrificial love, and He was willing to be sacrificed on Calvary's cross so that you and I might have salvation of our sins, and so that we might know what it is to have a spiritual family such as we're involved in this morning in this worship service with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And that was a very, very great sacrifice that was made there on our behalf. And as I think about that, it should make me want to realize, when we talk about the things that we've already looked at, we've talked about that you must be seed sowers and there must be seed sown. There must be soil conditions that are applicable or appropriate for that seed to take root and to grow and to prosper as God would have it to do. There must be a season which God provides, and you and I don't have any control over the sun and the rain and the setting of in order of the seasons. We have, you know, about 3 months of spring, summer, winter, and fall of each of those, and God designed that, and there's not really anything that I can do to add to or to take away from that. But it does require me, even in the physical sense, that I have to put my hand to these things to have a harvest. And when we think about that and bring that over to spiritual things, it also means that I have to put my hand of whatever it is that I'm wanting to accomplish for the cause of Christ, and I have to be involved in it. Yep. Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave increase. And that's the way it's always going to be. It's not about us, but it's about doing what God needs us to do. And sometimes that requires a little bit of sacrifice upon our part. Sometimes we may feel like that we're giving enough or all that we need to. Another thing that's required that we don't have anything to do with that we talked about was the showers of rain that you have to have physical harvests. There's places out in the West where they've got irrigation pumps, and if it don't rain, they'll just turn those on, and they'll still grow some alfalfa or crops of some nature. But in most situations, we have to have what God provides is those showers to have an increase or to have a harvest. And I think sometimes we don't recognize the fact that because we're involved in this plan that God has, this scheme for His people up on earth, we sometimes don't recognize how important it is that we're doing our part, that we're doing what we can do. You know, and the simple illustration of growing a garden, if I go out there and plant that seed, I walk away from it, and I don't look back to August, what's happened? The weeds have taken over, haven't they? And they've choked out the green beans, and they've choked out the corn and the tomatoes, and you don't have a harvest, do you? But once I engage myself and I say I'm going to grow a garden, however big or small that might be, and I engage myself and begin with that, and I get invested in it, so to speak, because I had to till it up, I had to put some fertilizer on it, and I had to lay the rows off, and I had to drop the seed, and I had to cover the seed. Now I'm invested to the point that I think, well, you know, I'm going to lay with this, because if I don't, all that I've put in so far is just going to be for naught, because the weeds will come and the crabgrass will come in Kentucky, and it will smother out everything else. But then as that garden starts growing and I start seeing those seeds, it encourages me, and I start seeing the benefits of my labors, and I start being encouraged by the healthiness of my plants, and I start working at that, and I'm out there in it, I become more engaged in it. And I want to make an application here. We're not just talking about horticulture. I understand that. I want us to think about, as Christians, the more engaged that we get, the more involved that we get, and the more invested that we get in our Christian lives, we'll see the benefits from that. And one step will take us to the next step, and that step might take us to the next step. But if we're kind of disengaged and we're not involved and we're not active as His people, then we might feel like it don't really matter what we do, and we might feel like, well, we're getting started too late in the game. You know, the garden started back in April, and it's June already, and I haven't done anything. We don't need to ever have that attitude. We need to have the attitude that I want to be invested. I want to sacrifice something for the cause of Christianity. I want to sacrifice something for my church family. I want to sacrifice something so that God might be glorified. And I think, again, if we'll find ourselves doing that, if we'll think about that, and we're coming up on a new year, and it's always a good time. It's hard to believe that another year has already passed, but it's always a good time at this time of year to take a little time and reflect upon where you've been, what you've accomplished during this past year, and where you're going, and what it is that you desire to accomplish in the upcoming year. And think about that. And I know we all got things physically that we got want to accomplish, and that's okay, and we have to make plans for those things. But what about the spiritual things that we would like to see happen in our lives, and how that we would like to be somewhat sacrificial so that we might cause others to be led to Jesus Christ? Think about that for the upcoming year of 2020. And I think, again, as you get more engaged and more involved, and you start seeing the fruits of your labor, not patting yourself on the back or anything, but the idea of, you know, I went over there and talked to my neighbor about coming to church, and I had a Bible study with them, and now they're sitting in church, and I think they're about ready to obey the gospel. That's the same principle as the fruits of your labor when it comes to physical things, and you see the results of what's happening because you put your hand to it, you put your feet to it, you got involved and you got engaged, and you will be encouraged and edified and built up by the things that you produce in the spiritual kingdom of God. And I hope this is making sense to you. Sometimes I've got it straight in my mind, but I might not be able to reveal it the way that it needs to be so that you can get it straight in your mind. But this idea of being willing to sacrifice, again, in the time that we live in, and we talked about last week the idea of being a servant, one of the first things that has to happen for us to become a servant is to take the focus off of ourselves and put it on someone else. Take the focus off of ourselves and put it somewhere else, to where, what can I do to help someone else? I know I've got some problems and I've got some things that I'm working out in my life, but take the focus off of me for a second, for a day, for a week, and let me ask myself, what could I do for somebody else that might be struggling even more so than I am? You know, I know a few people that I've come in contact with in my life that they're always focused upon themselves to the point that they never take focus off of themselves, and they seem to oftentimes be wallowing in self-pity or self-apathy that they can't accomplish anything, or they can't influence anything, or they can't have any influence on anyone else because they're so focused on themselves and all the things that they wrestle with or the things that they're depressed about. And I'm not trying to make fun or light of that. I know depression is a serious, serious thing, and I understand people's depression. But I'm not talking about maybe people as they grow older or elderly that deal with that and wrestle with that loneliness that they might feel. But I'm talking more about those of us that are plenty able-bodied to do and accomplish things for the cause of Christ. And it really, when you boil it down in a nutshell, what it boils down to simply to me is, am I willing to sacrifice, give up anything that I'm involved in or that I like to do that brings enjoyment to me so that I might further the cause of Christianity? What am I willing to give up? What am I willing to sacrifice? You know, when you think about that sacrifice when Jesus Christ was carrying that cross up Calvary's Hill, the weight of that cross, the agony that he knew that was about to be come upon him with all the cruelty that was showed towards his physical body. When you think about sacrificial love and you compare what you might be doing to what Jesus Christ did there on that day when he was crucified, most of us would probably feel like that we were very inadequate in our sacrificial love towards the cause of Christ. And I know we can't do anything to earn or deserve what was given to us by free grace upon that day. But what I'm trying to get us to understand is if that was you or I that was going up that hill carrying that heavy cross, would we have the attitude, well, you know, I just don't think I'm going to go through with this because I don't think that people are going to respond to this ideal of a Savior dying on Calvary's cross for the remission of their sins? Would we have the attitude, well, I'm not going to go through with that because I don't want anything to do with all that pain and suffering on someone else's behalf? You know, in like fashion, that's kind of how it is when we're not willing to give up anything in this life to go to talk to someone about the salvation of their soul, to talk about their spiritual well-being, to talk about the need for their church attendance to be so that they might be exhorted and edified and encouraged and built up in those things of a spiritual nature. We're more or less saying in ourselves is, I'm not going to do that because I don't think that it's going to make a difference. I don't think that it's worth my trouble. I don't think that it's worth my effort. Well, if Christ had that attitude, where would you and I be as Christians today? If he'd had the attitude that I'm just that's just too much of a sacrifice that's been laid upon me to do by my Heavenly Father, and I'm just not going to do it. I'm not going to go through with it. And again, that may be a crude illustration, but sometimes as Christians, we need to be reminded, when we think about what we're sacrificing for the cause of Christ, that we may have a lot of areas that we can improve upon. And I'm preaching to myself, as I always tell you, as much as I am anyone in this building. Are Christians required to sacrifice? And again, you know, sometimes Church of Christ people get accused of saying that we earn our salvation or that we work out our salvation. And we understand that grace was provided, that mercy was provided when we was not worthy of that. So it's not something that I'm going to sacrifice as much as Jesus Christ did, but if we've got our hearts right, we will want to make some sacrifice for the cause of Christ. It won't be business as usual, just another day at the office. We will think about, in our daily thinking process and decision-making process, we will think about, well, now, am I leaving any room here for my Christianity? Am I leaving any room here that I might work for Jesus Christ and that the borders of His kingdom might be enlarged because I've engaged myself and I see the fruits of my labors and I'm really happy, not patting myself, not glorifying myself, but because I'm bringing glory to God. Luke 9:62. And Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is not fit for the kingdom of God. Are we not always required to give up something to have something? Being a Christian is no different. And I think we understand that with physical things. I think we understand sometimes whenever we're thinking about a job promotion and that job, when we step up into that position, we've been working 40 hours a week and now we're going to have to work 60 hours a week because of the demands of that job. We understand what we're going to have to sacrifice. We understand that. We understand that there's going to be some sacrifice made there so that we might have that bigger annual salary, or that we might have a position of power and maybe sometimes prestige. We understand that, and we weigh that out in our mind, and we say, yep, I'm willing to make that sacrifice. I want that job. I want that position. I want these better things that I can have if I acquire that position. And we go ahead and do it. But when it comes to our Christian lives and we make the decision to be a Christian, we might not count the cost. We might not look at it from a standpoint of what's this going to cause me to have to do? What's going to be required of me as a Christian? And we might look at that a little bit lightly and we don't really take it seriously. And as Luke points out here, you know, we have to be careful that we don't become a Christian and then we start looking around thinking, well, I had it a lot better back over there where I was at in the world because there was nothing required of me. Nobody depended on me to do anything and I wasn't responsible for anything. And, you know, I kind of like that. I kind of like not having to be responsible for anything. Again, we have to be careful as Christians. Romans 12:1-10. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. You know, it's how could you say it any plainer than that? That we have to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. And again, that word sacrifice means that we have to give up something for a greater cause. We have to be willing to give up something or to let something go for a greater cause, something that we have a strong, strong desire to obtain. And again, that's what God wants from us, is to have that sacrificial love for Him. Hebrews 13:15-16. Through Him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of lips that give thanks to His name. And verse 16, and do not neglect doing good and sharing, for which such sacrifices God is what? Pleased. He's happy when He sees us take focus off of ourselves, put focus on someone else for the cause of His, for His cause, the church. You know, I spent a lot of time with my brothers yesterday. We drove all the way up to Cincinnati and we spent the day together. And some people may look at that because it was Ricky's birthday, and we all buy whoever's birthday it is, all the rest of the brothers buy his dinner. We've been doing that for 20 years. The two brothers that live in Cincinnati and one in Brookville, Indiana, I wouldn't ever see them probably now if it wasn't for those occasions, and I look forward to those. Sometimes I feel a little guilty because I think of all the other things that I might could have been doing, and I'm doing that. And then I realized yesterday on the trip up there, there was four of us from down here, I would say that at least 60 to 70% of the time that we were driving, we were talking about what? The Bible. We were talking about scriptural things. And then when we connected with the other two brothers that already live up there and we went to a restaurant and sat down and had a nice meal, I would say at least 50% of the conversation around the table was about the Bible. And I said, well, maybe this is not so bad after all. Maybe it's the Lord's will that we're getting together like this and we're talking about things of a spiritual nature. And don't rule out, as you all might suspect, there was a little bit of talking about politics. Those are two popular things, aren't they? But those things, those talks, discussion that we had about politics wasn't as pleasant to me as the talk that we had about the Bible and about God. But the point is we can find ourselves in places that maybe we didn't even at one time recognize as being something that we were trying to do God's will, and we might be sacrificing some of our time to be in a position to where we might talk to somebody about the gospel and the salvation of their soul. So again, think about that and ask yourself, what am I willing to sacrifice? Am I willing to give up anything for my Christianity? Am I willing to give up anything for the furtherance of the cause of Christ? Am I going to engage myself? We need to ask ourselves that. Living life as a sacrifice of praise, doing good. Galatians 6:9. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. And again, this lesson is kind of geared around the idea of the season and all the things that are involved in having a successful season. And those of us that have been involved in growing crops and engaged in that, we understand that what we're working towards is that harvest. And sometimes there may be things that come along that kind of hinder us or discourage us. Might be a glitch in the weather, might be something that the insects, whatever it might be. But we keep tolling on, working towards that harvest that we might have a crop to sell and that we might be able to pay our obligations and pay our operating expenses. And again, the same idea as what Paul's telling those at Galatia here is to keep on keeping on, keep on doing good, and recognizing the fact that you're going to be rewarded for that at the end of this life's journey. And we have to stay focused on that, or we will get distracted, and we will get off course, and we won't be doing the things that God would have us to be busy doing. So again, just ask yourself the question, do I understand what it is that I'm working towards? Do I understand what it might be that I might need to sacrifice so that I can have reached that eternal goal and be in heaven with God? You know, that's what we need to be thinking about. Living life as a sacrifice of praise, doing good. And again, in Luke 6:31, do to others as you would have them to do to you. We often refer to that as the golden rule. You know, we can just find all kinds of occasions and opportunities to do good to people and for people, can't we? We can just find all kinds of opportunities, just something, saying something nice. By the way, along those lines is, we prepared to eat at there yesterday in Cincinnati. We had a word of prayer, and they asked me to lead that prayer. And whenever we looked up, the waitress had brought in our food, and she stood there for a second, and she said, "I am so glad that I got to hear that prayer." And I could tell, I'm not doing this to pat myself on the back, but I could tell the sincerity in her voice and the things that she said. And I thought about how simple it is, and oftentimes I've been guilty of not saying a prayer before we eat. We've been guilty of not saying a prayer and being that example, being that influence that we were yesterday. how simple it is oftentimes to be doing good when you think maybe nobody else is paying attention, when nobody else is watching, when you're not influencing anybody else. And you might even think, well, that's not sacrificial to say a prayer. That's not sacrificial to take time out of your schedule to say a prayer. But that may be the very thing that somebody picks up on, that somebody is influenced by, that somebody is encouraged by, and it may be somebody that will go buy a Bible that don't own one and say, you know, I was changed by what I heard there. And again, this is not about me, it's about God. But these are just ways that we can be, our love can be sacrificial from our standpoint as His creation man. Ephesians 2:10, good works, for we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And again, the reason that God created you and I is to be doing good works. His purpose for us upon planet Earth is to be doing good works. And He says we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus for what? For that very purpose of doing good works, doing His will. And it says that God prepared all that in His design when beforehand. That was God's plan for His creation man, was to be busy doing good works. And you know, I've asked in the last few weeks several times, how do we get to a point in a nation, in a culture, in a society that we are in this nation where people do wicked, evil things just on a whim? It don't take anything to provoke them. I've seen this week on the news, could have been last week, where that lady over in Winchester took a cup of scalding hot coffee and she poured it on an infant baby. It was her foster child. And if I understood it correctly, the baby was crying. She couldn't get it to quit crying, so she thought it would be a good idea to take a cup of, I don't know if y'all seen that on the news or not. She thought it would be a good idea to take a cup of scalding hot coffee from McDonald's and pour on the infant's bare legs. They had to take the infant to the Cincinnati burn unit. It was burnt so bad. And I think about, well, how do you get someone who has took a child to be its caretaker, an innocent, sweet little child, and they would take, because it was crying and not doing what they wanted it to do, would take a cup of hot scalding coffee and pour it on its legs. How do you get to that point as a society, and how does a society produce that kind of person? And it came to me that the way that you get to that is you take God out of the equation. Same thing with the things that are going on down on the border down there in Mexico where Bobby was deployed to. When you take God out of the equation, that's the kind of things that are going to happen. That's wickedness, that's evilness at its very ultimate. And we see those things all around us. And why are that? Because people are not being attentive to good things. They're not being attentive to good works. I'm not saying that Christians are not, but the world don't recognize the good works. They're not seeing those things, and they're not realizing that there is a standard for that which is right and wrong. There is a standard for which is acceptable in the sight of God and that which is not. And whenever you throw that standard out the door, you can just go in every direction in wickedness and evilness and people doing evil things, such as we talked about. Living life as a sacrifice of praise by serving others. Mark 10:45, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give His life a ransom for many. Jesus Christ, when He was up on this earth, He wasn't about Himself. He wasn't here to be served. Yes, we serve Him now. We serve a risen Savior. We sing that song. But the point is when we look at the life that He lived, the humility that He had, and how that He was here to seek and save those that were lost, He took on an attitude of a servant. I'm here to do my Father's will. That's what I'm going to be busy doing. That's what I'm about. I'm going to do what my Father, my Heavenly Father, would have me to be doing. And again, do we understand that as our part in the Christian family, as our part in the kingdom of God? Jesus Christ did. How you live as a sacrifice of praise, having thanksgiving and acknowledgement of God is in your heart and on your lips. Doing good and serving others because you want to bring praise to God. Again, this is not a self-exalting thing to where I'm doing it to get a pat on the back for myself or to get some kind of praise for myself, but it's each and every one of us as individuals doing it to bring praise and glory to God Almighty. And people will be able to see when they hear you say godly things and spiritual things. They'll be able to relate to that, and they'll say, you know, that person is not only talking the talk, but they're walking the walk. And you will have the influence that God would have you to have here upon this earth. And again, just a little comparison here to the sacrifice that Christ made and our sacrifice. Jesus Christ died a cruel death for me. Go over cross on the other side. We ought to lay down our lives and put God first. And be His blood frees me from my sin. And be on the other side. Sacrifice ourselves for the brethren. You know, one of the things that should be of the utmost importance to you and I as Christians, as brothers and sisters in Christ, is that we help each other to make it to heaven. And what that entails is sometimes we have to sacrifice something. We have to give up something. But we need to be concerned about the spiritual well-being of our brothers and sisters in Christ. See, the work of the cross is what we see to signify the love of God. And on the other side, sacrifice things in our lives to help others, give up material things even. Maybe sometimes we have to give up something so that we can help somebody else. We talked about that in the Bible class. It's so good that that kind of tied in with the sermon this morning. The idea of how those at Macedonia, they were considered to be in poverty. And what did Paul say? He said they gave out of their poverty. They didn't look at how little they had and said, well, we can't help these people. We're in worse shape than they are. They looked at their situation and they said, we're going to go out on the limb of faith and we're going to do this because it's a good work. It needs to be done. And again, the ideal is sometimes we have to walk by faith and not by sight and just do it because we know it's a good work and God would have us be busy doing good works. D, we see the love it took to bear a cross to Calvary. Let God and the work of the kingdom become more important than other things in our lives. And again, when you think about the comparison of sacrifice that was made, what are we sacrificing versus what God sacrificed? What are we giving up versus those things? And again, I'm not saying this as if we can give an equal sacrifice, but it should motivate us to want to sacrifice some of the things that we might be busy doing to do the work of a Christian. Luke 14:15, as we bring it to a close, Jesus here is making a comparison to let the Jews know how God felt about their hypocrisy. Always making excuses of why they were not what they were supposed to be. There has always been and always will be excuses similar to those that the Jews made. If you'd like to turn to Luke 14:15, I'd like to read that. And then when one of them sat at meat with him, heard these things, he said unto him, blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Then said he unto him, and this is Christ speaking, a certain man made a great supper and bade many and sent his servant as supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all, with one consent, began to make excuse. And notice what he says here. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. 19. And another said, I have bought a 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, to have me excused. And 20. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. 21. So that servant came, and now he's coming back to his master, and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to the servant, go out quickly into the streets and in the lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said unto the lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house might be filled. For I say unto you, that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. And again, this is Christ giving an illustration of how he felt about the scribes, or the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the Jews, who were always making excuses. They were always binding things on other people of what everybody else needed to be doing, But when they're called upon to do something, they make an excuse of why they can't do that. When you think about the physical illustration that he uses here, it made the keeper of the house, the master of the house, angry, didn't it? Because those excuses that were given were not very applicable. They weren't excuses that were justifiable to say, you know, this is why I'm not going to serve God, because I have these physical things, I've had this money invested here, and as far as I'm concerned, God, you come in second place to these things. I'm going to go over here and tend to these things. We have to be careful as his people to realize that excuses have always been a problem, and we don't need to be making them. We need to just say, you know, I want to serve God. Chris pointed on this very ideal this morning. Tired of lame excuses, invite the lame. What Jesus was saying in this very illustration is the Jews, who were supposed to be God's chosen people, they had gotten to a point to where they wasn't faithful to God's instruction. They wasn't accepting the Messiah, Jesus Christ. They wasn't accepting the preaching of his gospel. And he said, you know what you do? You go over here and offer what I'm offering to the Gentiles, the people that you consider to be no more than dogs. And in this illustration, he says, go talk to the lame. Go talk to those who have physical infirmities. Those people might be able to be reached. But those who have that high-headedness, that arrogancy about them, they're not being reached. They're not heeding. They're making excuses. We as God's people need to realize that we don't want to make excuses. We don't want to be like those people. We just want to get engaged and do what God's instructed us to do. I've got a brother that has asked me to bring a lesson, and I'm going to, about how that you reach people that have everything that this world has to offer. Those people are oftentimes the very hardest to reach. The ones that have it all, that are blessed with all that this world has to offer, and you can't reach them because they're so engulfed in what this world has to offer. They don't have any need, they don't have any time, they don't have any sacrificial love for God, and they're not going to change a thing about their life that they might go to church and worship God, or that they might lead somebody else to Jesus Christ. And that's a good sermon topic. If you're here this morning and you've never obeyed the gospel, you've never understood the sacrificial love that was made on your behalf on Calvary's cross, maybe this lesson has helped you to do that. And if you've heard the word preached and you understand that what you must do is hear and believe, and you must be willing to make that good confession that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and you must be willing to repent, and you must be willing to be baptized in that water grave of baptism to be raised up to walk in newness of life. Galatians 3:27 says, as many as that have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. If you come to the understanding of that sacrificial love that was made on your behalf, and now you would like to sacrifice something in return for that, we're going to give you the opportunity to do that as together we stand and as we sing.